Hey, and welcome back to the Create Podcast. My name is Connie Bozalski, and on this show, we talk about all things creativity, mindfulness, and self-exploration for creators and creative entrepreneurs. And today, I have a wonderful friend of mine on the show. His name is Stas Arsenov. He came to Bali just before I left a little while ago, and so we sat down for a chat in my favorite recording studio in Canggu and pressed record and just jammed out. Stas and I, we met a couple of years ago at an event in Los Angeles, and then we met at another event and another event, and eventually, yeah, we just kind of became friends. And it's really been a joy to observe Stas's journey since then, because it's been a pretty interesting one. Stas is an integrative nutrition health coach, and he is the host of the Think Clever podcast, which is a really cool podcast. He's a great podcast host, great interviewer, asks awesome questions. And he's been one, like I just said, like on one hell of a deep journey into the world of wellness and personal development. And on top of that, he last year also kicked off a documentary project around the Love on Every Billboard project, which is really beautiful, and I will link to that in the show notes. And yeah, we had a really beautiful and wide-ranging conversation about things like morning routines, spiritual bypassing, hacking healing, living in true alignment, and a lot more. And you know, I really love sitting down with friends or just people that I know a bit better and record a podcast episode, because the conversations, they just really flow, and they usually end up in some really awesome places that I had like no intention of going to. So I'm sure you will enjoy this one. It's really cool. I had a great time with Stas. However, before we get into the episode, just a quick heads up. A few days ago, I opened registration for my upcoming workshop program, The Inside Out. It's all about mindfulness and emotional intelligence for creators and entrepreneurs and artists and whatnot. And it's my first offering of that kind in quite a while, like more than a year. And I'm really excited. So here's what's going to happen. First, on the first day, which is today in a week, so I'm recording this on a Monday, and we'll meet on February the 17th for a 2.5-hour workshop on mindfulness and emotional intelligence. And then the 6 days after that, we meet every day to meditate together, to have a sharing circle afterwards and talk about our experiences. So it's basically one workshop and then daily meditations, guided meditations with me in the group online for 6 days. So I truly believe that mindfulness and emotional intelligence, self-awareness are superpowers for us creators and entrepreneurs, and that they help us to increase our inner peace and our creative focus, and especially also the connection to ourselves and our self-awareness. And they certainly have done that for me over all those years since I dove into this whole world back in 2012. And I called this one-week program Inside Out because the work we do as creators and entrepreneurs, I believe it needs to come from the inside out. You see what I did there? And when it does, we can totally shift how we show up for the people that we want to serve. But first, we got to show up for ourselves. Now, apart from that, so many of us creators and entrepreneurs, you know, we struggle with stress and overwhelm and lack of focus and clarity, overthinking, imposter syndrome, hello, lack of self-confidence and anxiety. We're driven by unconscious programs and beliefs. And we suppress a lot of our emotions. We struggle to properly process and express them. I see this all over the place. And then, of course, our fears and shadows, they actually keep us from fully accessing and expressing our true potential. And that is actually really sad. And when you look at the world, it's like, and especially the world of entrepreneurship and creators, mental and emotional health it's a big issue. And that crisis is more real than ever, I believe. So many people are suffering from burnout, and it's almost like an accepted byproduct of wanting to create an impact in the world. I just don't think that that is necessary. And so we really need more conscious and more self-aware creators and creative entrepreneurs that are willing and brave enough to do the work, the inner work, to shine their light for other people out there. And as mindful and emotionally aware humans, you know, we're able to then serve the world from a much more conscious place. And that's also a lot more authentic. And so the more connected we are to ourselves, the more authentic we can be, which I believe leads to a lot more meaningful and impactful work. And yeah, I think that that's kind of what the world needs these days. So in this workshop, we'll cover a lot of really awesome and fascinating topics, such as how mindfulness works in our brains, the role of our nervous system in our everyday life, and the different components of emotional intelligence and how to actually cultivate them. We'll talk about how to process and express emotions, self-awareness, and metacognition. And of course, we'll do a lot of really cool practical stuff. And also I'll give you some tips on, you know, depending on where you are in your meditation practice and how to actually make it sustainable. And so much more. I'm so damn excited. And yeah, we'll do some really cool exercises and activities that you can totally take home and make your own. We'll have group discussions and, of course, a little bit of Q&A where you can just ask me all your questions. And then during those 6 days of meditation and mindfulness practices, really is what it is, they'll be different every day. And they'll be part guided and part silent. And then the cool thing is that, you know, through this program, we come together to have this shared experience of learning, but then also meditating and sharing our experiences, which, you know, really creates connection. I think that that's really beautiful. It is an important part of this 1 week program that, yeah, it is about learning, but it is really about connecting, because connection truly, I believe, is everything. It's beautiful. So we normally always meditate on our own, and I think sometimes it's just really awesome to come together and share the experience. And since this is an experimental format, I'm keeping the price very, very affordable, because, yeah, I just kind of want to see how it flows, get some feedback from you guys. And I'm only taking a small group of people because of that. We're almost full. We only have a few more spots. So if I were you, I'd hurry up. I'd register at connie.me/insideout, or just check the link in the show notes. So that would be www.connie.me/insideout. And yeah, let's see what happens. And now let's go. Here's Stas Arsenoff. Woohoo. Awesome. Cool. Well, welcome, Stas, to my podcast.
So nice to be here.
In Bali, we're doing it.
Yeah. Bali magic.
Bali magic. You came up here in the worst of traffic, but you made it.
Totally worth it.
Totally worth it. And here we are, from LA to Bali, because we met in LA a little while ago, and we'll share the story in a little bit. However, I want to dive in with something that I know is important to you. It's important to me. And we want more people to embrace it. And that is morning routines. And so my first question for you is, what is your current morning ritual routine?
It's constantly evolving. And I'm here in Bali, actually, because I came for a yoga retreat. And my intention for a yoga retreat was to reconnect with my body, because I was exploring so much the mind, meditating, doing all of these practices to be at peace, to be connected, that I have abandoned my body in a way. And so now I need to recalibrate it and actually connect with it. So now my morning routine has another ritual added to it. So I have to wake up a little bit earlier. Mm-hmm. And it has 5 minutes of yoga. Mm-hmm. I'm still working on exactly which movements are flowing with me. But I know that from now on, it's going to be more of a mindful practice, and also meditation. Meditation is a huge part. I try to meditate 20 to 30 minutes each morning. Sometimes it's with some music. You know, if I feel a little bit bored and I need to diversify, then I have some maybe some Tibetan bowls or maybe guided meditations. A lot of it is silence, because I think being in silence, that's when really stuff comes up. That's when you do the work.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay to entertain yourself with some guided meditation and music, but got to do the work as well.
I think so too. It's like a combination of both, no? It's what I do as well.
Exactly. And I shared something in my yoga retreat recently when they asked me about meditation. I said, I would like to share something my friend shared with me. It's RPM.
Yes.
Rise, pee, meditate.
That's it.
Something that worked for me and it works for a lot of people. So I think I learned it from you about a year ago.
Yeah.
I'm applying it and I'm sharing it with others. So yeah. It goes on.
Yeah, that's awesome. And I think I got it from a book that I read many years ago now. And I think it was, I'm not 100% sure, but I think it was Jon Kabat-Zinn's book, Full Catastrophe Living. Mm. I think that's where he talks about RPM. And it's the magic formula, I think, to really make meditation a daily thing. Yeah,
and it's because that's when your mind is the calmest. You haven't really started your day. Definitely don't start checking your phone when you wake up. Mm-hmm. I notice so many people just looking at their phone right away, and that's it. You kickstart your mind. It starts going places, starts figuring out all the situations you need to address and problems you need to solve. Then when you sit down to meditate, you basically just loaded so much more work that you need to do before
so
you get
true.
To that like mindful state and actually connect.
So true.
So that's why I just pee if it's urgent. Sometimes I even skip peeing, I'm cool.
Right, you're a man. You can maybe do that.
Hold it in.
Yeah.
And then another one is gratitude practice. Mm. So I have a gratitude journal, and recently I took this journal. It's called 5-Minute Journal.
Mm-hmm.
From our friends at Intelligent Change.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing because it gives you structure. It gives you structure where you answer what are the things you're grateful for, what do you desire to happen in the day. So that's where you put a little bit of manifesting in there as well. You create a daily affirmation for yourself that you just repeat throughout the day. And then in the evening, you write, what are you grateful for that has happened?
Mm-hmm.
So it's a morning and evening journal. It takes about 5 minutes. It's amazing. I've been doing my just own journal, just scribbling before, and I just switched to this one. It's amazing. So
it's powerful.
I highly recommend it to everyone.
I used to do it as well a while back now. Do you have the actual book?
Yeah.
Okay. Because yeah. I think they have an app as well. Or some people just do it on their own, like in their own journal.
Yeah, that's what I used to do it on my own journal, but
yeah.
it's just something about having this bit of structure.
Yes.
and then having an ability to go back and see what is it that you wrote.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of it, and I'm sure we'll touch at some mm-hmm. point today about manifesting, a lot of it has to do with, you know, really putting an intention of what you want today to be about.
Mm-hmm.
And just go back to it, you know, go back to this intention. Remember, don't be on an autopilot so much.
Yeah.
And so this journaling in the very beginning, especially when either you do it, you know, right after meditation, your mind is still calm and you're mm-hmm. able to tap into your subconscious mind and plant those seeds in there.
Yeah, no, it's so powerful. And why not talk about it now? I mean, I think gratitude is the magic tool to manifest anything, right? Like when people talk about the law of attraction, like that's it. Like tune into something that you're grateful for that hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
And see how that feels in your body and do that every day. Let's
exactly.
say you want to manifest a certain job or a certain career, business, or a relationship or whatever. And if you tune into that every day as if it's already here and you're already grateful for it, like
yeah.
it's going to happen.
Yeah. Actually, our friend Joe Dispenza, he talks a lot about that.
Exactly.
Got to generate the feeling. And if you feel it, then you're really attracting it. You're manifesting. The whole universe starts working with you to actually bring it to fruition.
Yeah, it's so powerful. And instead, I mean, it's one of those tools that I just wish they taught us in kindergarten, you know. Instead, we wake up in the morning and, you know, most of us, they look around and see what's not there.
Yeah.
Oh, I'm not making the money yet I want to make. Oh, I don't have the relationship I want to have yet. Like, that's kind of sending out the complete opposite energies, right?
Exactly. And it's nice to be in Bali learning about gratitude because they certainly practice this a lot here.
Yeah.
I was recently told that Balinese women spend 80% of their life in puja ceremonies, constantly blessing and giving thanks. It's an amazing state
it's powerful
to live in.
Here. Their religion is really powerful. I mean, for them, it is motivated by religion, right? But in the end, it is really powerful to see what they do in terms of, I mean, they have ceremonies all the time.
Yeah.
and literally all the time. And huge ones too. And, you know, they do a lot of chanting, like sometimes days and days of chanting in some of those temples. And it's, I mean, they really put themselves into these trance states, yep. right? So they do that sort of stuff. They have water ceremonies. They got ceremonies for everything. It's fascinating. It's so cool, actually.
One of my morning practices now doing yoga is, the way I look at it is, it's like a puja ceremony. It basically allows me to celebrate my body.
Mm.
You know, it's something that, and it recently has come to me a more of a realization that this is a beautiful vessel that I have. And I realized I haven't really appreciated it too much. I just kind of take it for granted. Like, that's my body, fine. Usually I just complain about it, like, I have pain in the back, or like, I should get more muscle. It's so silly, you know, where like, what I need to be doing is appreciating so much more.
It is working really well, you know, like looking at you, you look pretty good, you know, everything,
you.
The heart's beating, you're breathing, like, you know, let's be grateful for that.
Yeah, and it's not difficult to do, and it's also, it may sound silly in the beginning for, let's say, people listening right now and like they haven't really practiced it so much. It may sound like a bit silly. But once you start doing it and do it, you know, with an intention of like, this is your life. Create it in a way that makes sense to you. Don't create it like thinking, how do I look to others? Because you're not doing it in front of others. You're doing it by yourself. This is your life. You know, you find a comfortable place in your home. Find something that makes sense to you. Put a hand on your heart and actually really, really generate those feelings of gratefulness.
Mm.
You know, the research is already there from the scientific point, from spiritual point. It's working. It's all about creating discipline to actually do it every day and also doing it with intention.
Mm.
I noticed that I had discipline to do it every day, but intention was lacking. I was kind of doing it just to like, okay, I'm doing my gratitude journal.
Ticking it off, right?
Yeah. And then I was like, I'm not sure if it's working. Like, I'm happy that I'm doing it, but I don't know if it's like really kicking in.
Yeah.
And then I think actually I was doing Joe Dispenza's meditation, and he really encourages you, like, put your hand on the heart and just really feel it.
Mm.
Really feel the love, the gratefulness.
Yes.
And then I was like, oh, that's how
it's
feel.
That's what it's about, yeah. That's a really good point. I'm glad you bring this up, because I think so many people do maybe have a gratefulness practice, but they're just ticking it off. It's like, 1, 2, 3, okay, done. I'm like, no, like, sit there and really feel into everything that you come up with and feel that gratitude for the thing and feel it in your body and where is it located and open your heart and maybe even put your hands on your heart and really make it intentional. Yeah, I love that. Yeah.
And don't rush through it, you know?
Yeah.
Like, I've learned recently through one of the teachers that I was studying with is, because a lot of us are pretty stressed out, there's always places to be, places to go. And so he said, remind yourself this simple statement, I have time.
Yes.
And the more you repeat it, your nervous system just calms down.
Yes.
Because you tell it, like, I have time.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, you can focus more on whatever you're doing in the present moment.
I love that.
Yeah.
Yeah, because we're always like, I don't have time. I don't have time. There's not enough time. I got so many things to do. There's not enough time.
It's like,
it's just a story we're telling ourselves, right?
Yeah.
And we can tell ourselves a new story. And that story can be, I have time. And then if you do that, you know, enough times, your body will believe that story as
exactly.
well. Yeah, that's
and
so
things,
good.
You know, there is a magical component to life. Like, stuff happens in the ways that it's inexplainable. Sometimes people say, oh, it's a coincidence. Is it? You know,
Did
you manifest something?
Yeah.
Maybe it is a coincidence. Whatever it is, but it's happening, and so appreciate it for what's happening.
Yeah.
And a lot of times when you do things like you saying, I have time, half of the things that you were supposed to address, they just vanish. They're just like somehow they solve themselves.
Mm.
And this is not going to solve all of your problems, but the ones that were not supposed to be there, like that were there as a simple distraction, they'll vanish.
Yeah.
They fade away. And just by saying, like, I have time and being more present.
I love that. What do you think about people that, you know, they really want something to happen in their lives and it's just not happening and they grow really impatient and they get really frustrated with, oh, it's not happening. Why is it not happening? I'm doing the work. I'm doing all the gratitude shit. I'm meditating.
Yeah.
I would say, what's up there, you think?
Focus on the why.
Mm.
you know, a few clients that I've worked with is they don't have a very clear goal of the why. Like, why are you trying to achieve this? You know, like, why are you trying to be consistent with going to the gym, let's say, right? Are you doing this because you just want, like, a more fit body? Or you want this to have a healthier lifestyle so you can be around longer for your kids, or you can have more energy throughout the day? You know, like, go deeper into the why. It really helps a lot with the discipline also of doing things, and also with intention.
Yeah,
you
know,
basically,
so true.
The two things that we discussed, discipline and intention. Mm. And if you have your why, or the bigger why of basically makes the whole purpose of your life, you know, then it's easier to say no to things because you're actually saying yes to the life that you want to have.
Yeah, it's like the same also with money, right? People are like, oh, I want to make 6 figures or 7 figures a year, you know? And I'm like, yeah, but why?
Yeah.
Like, what's the real reason you want this? What's your big why? And a lot of times people don't even think about that. They just have this goal for this thing that they want to achieve. And just like, well, actually, because what we're really doing is we're chasing a feeling.
Yeah.
When I say I want to make 6 figures a year, I'm chasing the feeling that these 6 figures give me, or whatever lifestyle that opens up, and what that lifestyle gives me in terms of physical sensations. And so I think becoming really clear as to what's beneath the goal that I'm setting. And
do you want to feel the freedom with your day? You know, because if that's what it is, that extra zero on your income may not bring that. Maybe a different job will bring that.
Yeah.
You know, but if you're just shooting for an extra zero on your income statement, then it's confusing.
Yeah.
You know, like, you may not get the freedom that you're looking for. Maybe you're looking for spending more time with your family or traveling to other places. You know, what kind of places do you want to go to? Is it like a fancy resort in Italy, or is it Bali because you're seeking something else? Like, get, like, really clear with your why.
Yeah, that's so true. And also the same goes for a morning routine. I think that it gets a lot easier to be disciplined with it and intentional about it if you know why you want to have it in the first place.
Yes.
And, you know, what does it give you, and why do you think it's so important that we have a morning routine that is intentional and conscious?
Yeah. And I would say something that I keep hearing a lot from people is, so you have a practice and you do it for a while. You know, it's not a magic pill. It's nothing's going to happen in 1 week. You know, it's something that you adjust your lifestyle. And let's say you do it for 3, 4, 5 months. Things change very gradually. And sometimes they change in such a way that you don't necessarily think that anything has changed.
You don't even notice it sometimes, yeah.
But then you stop doing it.
Yeah.
And then you realize, oh, wow. Like, you go back to how you were before. And that's when you appreciate, like, this new adjustment that you've made, the new lifestyle. So my meditation teacher, Scott Schwenk, he actually said something on my podcast, which was mind-blowing to me. He said, faith is an action. It's not just something, like, very passive that you have there and you don't do anything with it. Faith is something that you put in, you put your faith every single day, you activate it. You do the work, you know it's going to work, and you just keep doing it. You don't, like, if you're boiling food in the pot, you don't, like, raise it to open it to see if it's cooked yet.
Yeah.
You know, you trust that it's there.
It's
a farmer that plants the seed, he doesn't uncover the dirt to see if it's growing or not.
So
he just keeps watering it.
Yeah, that's so good. Yeah.
And that's what we need to do. We need to just commit and do these practices and maybe journal to see the progress that you're having. Because then you can actually go back. You know, people who have therapists, there's some kind of record there. You know, a therapist can say, hey, 6 months ago you were saying these things, but look at you now.
Yeah, it's a good mirror.
You know, if you don't have that, then maybe you have a journal, because then you can scroll back a few months back and see, wow, I've changed a lot.
Yeah, it's so true. We never really, it's hard to see it yourself, you know? I mean, yeah, when I look back, okay, 5 years ago, yeah, it was definitely different. But the last 6 months, like, you know, it's such a slow movement, you know, growth, and yet so much happens actually inside of yourself that you might just not be aware of, especially if you're not fully connected to yourself yet, and maybe not as connected to your body and your intuition, and that takes some time. Yeah. And the more that you become better at that, I think the more you will notice smaller changes as well. So yeah, that's huge actually. And I kind of want to talk a little bit about how, going back, because I think that's fitting now, because we met, I believe, maybe almost 2 years ago, mm-hmm. less than 2 years ago, in LA. We were at this event in LA, and it was called, I forget what it was. It was a health and wellness conference.
Yeah, summit, yeah.
And I think you sat down next to me for a talk by, was it Kyle Cease's talk maybe even?
Is it Kyle Cease or it was David Wolf or it was like one of those really cool people.
One of those. And you like sat down next to me and we started chatting.
Jim Quick. We saw Jim Quick together.
Yeah, we did. Yeah, true. There were some really cool people. It was great. It was a great conference. And then, so we started chatting. And then after that, I said, hey, I have to leave early because I'm going to see Jason Silva.
That's the night I learned about RPM, in line for Jason Silva.
All right.
Yes.
And so, yeah. So, and then you were like, oh, I'll come join. Or maybe you also had a ticket. And then, so we went there, hung out there. And then I think it took a little while, but then we met again at a small little intimate Kyle Cease event where I was like, holy shit, Stas, you're here too?
What a surprise.
Yeah, what a surprise. Of course he is. So, yeah, so we met at all these personal development retreats, events and whatnot. And, you know, I learned more and more about your story. And you were in that phase of hitting a lot of those workshops and mm-hmm. events and all and retreats and whatnot. And I really saw myself in you because I was there just a bit before that where I was going, I was really binging and overdosing on that, on personal growth and development. And so now, you know, meeting you now here in Bali and we haven't seen each other in a few months either, is that you've come a long way too. Like we both have.
Yeah.
In all the ways. What's happened? Like you were going through such a massive transformation. And like who's the Stas today? Maybe you have to reintroduce yourself to me.
Yes. It's so perfect that we're meeting here, because the reason why I'm in Bali is because 3 years ago, my journey started by attending a Blooming Lotus yoga retreat here in Bali.
I was Blooming Lotus. Yeah.
And that's where it all started. And I came back. That's the retreat that I just did recently, because, and it was exactly like three years ago. Mm. So just to see the transformation that I have undergone, it was kind of for me a checkpoint in this stage of life to see, you know, same environment, same teachings, same structure, but how differently I perceive information mm-hmm. and actually how much of it I have applied this 3 years. Because, so for example, perfect situation. So we were talking about four styles of yoga, karma yoga, raja yoga, just about surrendering to the experience, being grateful, all of these different yogic practices. And before, I remember just writing down notes, and it was just words. It was just a theory, something that to me was a little bit beyond my scope. But I, you know, wrote down the notes, and I slowly started attending different retreats and applying different practices. And it was so amazing that now we went over the same workshop, and I realized that this past year, this past few years, I've lived through all of those four stages.
Wow.
There was a stage for me being of service, which was huge. It actually changed my life. It basically cured me of depression, you know, because I finally realized, and actually that happened right after the Kyle Cease event, mm-hmm. where Kyle looked at me and he said, listen, man, how about you be more of service and start seeing the world from a different perspective?
I remember that, because your thinking was really negative, right? You were looking for all the things that were wrong in the world.
Exactly.
Sort of.
Yeah, and he just told me, well, why don't you look for beautiful things in the world? And that initiated the entire, you know, the film that I made about the law of billboards and just everything. So I realized that everything that has happened, every practice that I have applied, everything that happened to me was within this four different types of the yogic lifestyle, you know, the yogic practices. And so it's kind of like my graduation right now at this point. You know, transformation goes on and I'm going to be evolving constantly. It never stops. Yeah. But this is a very good checkpoint for me to kind of celebrate what has happened. And I'm very blessed of how my life has changed. And, you know, now I express it a lot more. I share, because it's all about self-expression, sharing your story, inspiring others, and helping people who are either starting to walk the path, maybe they're already walking it. You know, I'm sure there's right now even more teachers, even more retreats, and there are people there like you and me just attending all of them, trying to tap into this truth, you know. For what triggered me to eventually slow down the pace was a few things, you know. I think the moment that we spoke to before this was the Kyle C's event. It was like my third event in a row, and Kyle just said, "Dude, you just have to stop, man."
You had like three or five more lined up the weeks following that workshop. Like, I think you're going to Eckhart Tolle. You're going to do plant medicine.
I did a Hoffman process, craniosacral retreat.
Yes.
I mean, it was amazing. But what I really realized is there's one ultimate truth, you know, it's all within ourselves, and different teachers, they can help you tap into it. But nobody's going to teach you different things. They're just teaching the same thing from differing angles. But the only way to do it is, you know, it's like digging a well for water. What happened to me, I became really good with digging wells. But I never really hit the water. Mm-hmm. I would just build an outstanding well, and then I'd move on to the next one and the next one. Mm-hmm. And there was no water in any of them. And so at one point, my teacher said, "Listen, man, you just have to dig deep. Just commit to one well and dig deep."
Yeah, I like that.
And that's what I started doing. I picked a teacher, started studying with him, and like applying all these practices instead of looking for another best teacher or another one, whoever is famous. They're all leading you to the same place.
That's so true. So tell me about the well.
Well, it's abundant and filled with water now. And now I share it, you know, with my buckets.
No, yeah, but tell me about the teacher and like what you decided to focus on.
It was Scott Schwenk. He's in LA. He does meditation and breath work. And I've worked very closely with him. And he's the one who called me out on a lot of this bullshit, you know. He just said, "Listen, man, you have to start doing stop looking for excuses to skip these practices or substitute one with another. Just stick to one and be consistent. Start small." You know, that's how I developed my morning routine. You know, he told me, "Commit to doing breath work for, let's say, 30 days and just do it every single day. No excuses." You know, whether you have to go to work earlier or you're traveling on a flight, you know, you still have to do it. And I did that. Then I started adding more practices. And so it kind of showed my body that I'm committed to changing.
Yeah.
You know, that having the discipline really showed my body that I want to be better. I know I deserve more. I'm worthy of things more. And you're proving that by committing to different practice.
Yeah, you're showing like, "Hey, I'm in this, yo." Like, I'm here. I'm showing up for you. That's so funny with Scott Schwenk, because he keeps popping up on my radar over and over again. So I feel almost, now that, you know, you bring him up, I'm almost compelled to seek him out when I get back to California soon. So
please do.
He seems like a really cool guy. And he also does breath work. So
yeah. And it's, you know, there's teachers for different walks of life.
Yes.
You know, right now I'm walking more in the path of plant medicine and learning a lot from that. And I have a beautiful teacher, Kai Carell, and I'm learning so much from him. And it's, you know, again, all of this is within you. It's all of this knowledge is there, but these guides, they help you to walk the path a little bit faster.
Yeah.
You know, but you're the only one who does the work.
Yeah, it's so true. And some teachers, I mean, there's so many teachers out there by now, right? Doing really important work and guiding people and sharing their knowledge and their wisdom and supporting people on their journey to wholeness, really, right? And and some people resonate with you and some don't. Like, there's teachers out there, it's just not my thing, you know? And and then there's teachers that I love that some of my friends are like, "I don't know, not for me," you know? So it is important to experiment and to try out different modalities and teachings and people. And I also think, like, yeah, it comes and goes in seasons as well. Like, you know, there were teachers that I loved years ago, then I kind of lost track a little bit, and now I'm slowly coming back to that depending on where I am in my life, right?
Yeah.
So there's that, and
it's like reading the book The Alchemist.
Yeah,
you know, to me, I've read it so many times, and when I read it for the first time, maybe 10 or 12 years ago, it was one story. When I read it 5 years later, it was a completely different story.
Yes, okay.
I just reread it this year, and I was like, "What? Oh my God! What is this book?" Because you're peeling the layers of this onion, you're seeing more and more, you're understanding more.
Yeah.
And the same way with a teacher, you know, you may come back to a teacher a few years later and get completely something else. Like right now, I just listened to Kyle C's like a 1 hour performance at the Agape Center. Mm-hmm. And the things that I've heard, I'm like, oh my God, Kyle, I like finally understand you, man. Like, I know what you're talking about. Mm-hmm. And when I was working with him for 6 months, I had a lot of conflict with some of that. It was like very difficult to accept it. But now it's like, yeah, there's no barrier. I'm like, oh my God, I'm on the same page, man.
Yeah, it's so fascinating how that works, you know. And sometimes we might read a book and we don't get it yet. It's just not time yet. And then years later, yeah, finally it's there. It hits you like a brick of stones, you know. Yeah, it's so funny. So what would you say were your biggest trigger back then, 3 years ago, when you first came to Bali? Like, what were some of the challenges you were facing? I remember you were dealing also with depression at times. And what were some of your biggest challenges in life?
Yeah, I think the biggest one is not being aligned with my purpose.
Mm.
And purpose gets thrown out a lot these days, you know, and it's like, find your purpose. And mm-hmm. and it actually frustrates people more because it's such a grand mission of a lifetime to find a purpose.
Yeah.
Purpose. I think it should start with find something that ignites you, that makes you excited, something that lights you up. Start kind of small, do the inventory of those things, and eventually it will lead you to your purpose.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so to me, I didn't have any of those things. The things that I was doing, running my business company, like a swimwear, it was exciting from one perspective, but it didn't really light me up at all. It was work to me. I was very stressed out. I had a nervous breakdown. I hit depression, and everything was just spiraling down, where I just realized, if I keep going at this pace, I'm going to get like very sick.
Oh.
And I'm going to have to really like take time off, but not voluntarily. Like it will be a force action.
Wow.
And so I'm so thankful that I read the sign, and I shut down the company. I packed my backpack and I left to just explore, just see what else is out there. Nothing. I wanted to, you know, be more aligned with my purpose, but I didn't want to put that pressure. I just wanted to explore what else life can be about. And that's when I went to Bali, spent 2 months there. I went to India for a month. Nepal for months, Sri Lanka. So I've done some traveling and learning, and it was a very humbling experience.
I can imagine. And I mean, having experienced so much over those 3 years, you know, and mm-hmm. and meeting a lot of amazing teachers and having a lot of, I want to call it peak experiences too, right? Because every one of those retreats, workshops, and events is a form of a peak experience, right?
Exactly.
So what do you think you were chasing as you were going from one workshop and event to another? And what was it that, you know, because you were saying how you were digging all these little wells, right? Was it just that curiosity, or what were you seeking?
Yeah, I think I was seeking a cure. You know, I wanted
the
to
one
be,
thing.
Exactly. Yeah. Like, I wanted to be happy. I wanted to be successful. You know, all of that. Like, I wanted to be in that blissful state when things just make sense. And I saw that I would get it just by attending like a perfect retreat. What I didn't really realize right away, and I guess that's all part of the process, is that it's all about integration. You know, it's you do the retreat and you integrate certain practices and you evolve a little bit more. And then you go to, let's say, a next retreat and you apply some of the practices there, some of the teachings. Eventually, you craft something perfect for you. But not one retreat is going to truly... It may if you just truly commit. Like, maybe you go to a retreat and you're like, that's it. That's all I needed. I'm going to do this for the next year. And that's probably actually going to work a lot better than attending like a retreat a month and not really doing the work.
Yeah, and that's a good point, because I almost see that as a form of, and in my case, probably too back then, and also with some other people that I see, a form of like spiritual bypassing, right?
Yeah.
It's like, oh, I am doing the work. I am going to all these events.
Very spiritual.
what are you talking about? but it can almost turn into a form of an addiction filling a void and become a distraction in itself, right?
Yeah. Maybe? Yeah, it's... That's what you know, shamans of plant medicine say. You know, so there's certain people that do it, and they just do it to have a wonderful journey in an astral world, and it's beautiful, and you see all those great things. But you don't really integrate. You don't really the insights that you get. You don't apply them in your life. You're still as disconnected from others. You're still not being of service and not, you know, do much. Mm-hmm. So you just go and to have a fascinating trip, fascinating journey, and that's it. You gotta do the work. You gotta integrate. You gotta change your lifestyle.
Mm. Tell me more about that. Like, we talk so much about the inner work. You gotta do the work. Mm-hmm. You gotta do the work.
The work, yeah.
Do the work. What does that really look like then?
Yeah, you know, and I think just the word "the work," it's pretty, also has a certain trigger in there. It's like, oh shit, like I have to do the work.
You gotta hustle.
Yeah, it's like, it's now, it's something like, here's what it is for me. I have been exploring a lot being in a flow state. And I'm actually writing an article right now about being in a flow
state.
Nice,
man. All about the flow.
That's it. That's what it is. Because when you're in a flow state, things make sense. Everything makes sense. You attract opportunities. You attract people because you're on this higher frequency where people are like, I don't know who this guy is, but he looks pretty cool. He has a good energy around him. Let me just go introduce myself, see what's up. Maybe there's something. Maybe I can be in his presence more and we can collaborate and do something. Mm-hmm. And that's how opportunities are created. That's how people become more successful because they show up in a very different way. And that's you being in a flow state. That's an ability to solve problems that before you didn't see the solutions, but now you're like, well, how did I not notice it? Like, this is so simple, and now this problem is solved. Or the person just calls you and said, hey, we don't have a problem anymore, we're good.
Yeah.
You know. And so what it is for me to cherish it so much that the work is not really the work. It's just, it's something that I do to maintain it a lot more. Mm-hmm. So I eliminate distractions. You know, so let's say hanging out with people who are constantly complaining or comparing or, you know, doing all of that stuff that takes you out of it. Watching the news or a lot of melancholic music, you know, maybe a lot of social media, comparing yourself to the life of others. Any of this stuff that actually, like, deep inside, you know, it's bad for you, but somehow it's like sucks you in. Like, we want to participate in the drama. We want to see what Trump is doing, you know, all that stuff. Like, but if you make a conscious effort, because again, you tapped into your why. You know why you're saying no to these things is because you're saying yes to being in the flow state.
Yeah.
You know, then it's no longer the work. Mm. Then it's something like saying no to alcohol. You know, you're not just saying no to alcohol. You're saying yes to a healthier lifestyle, to a clear mind, to better energy, to waking up fresh in the morning. That's what you're saying yes to.
So true.
Yeah.
It's actually like, it sounds like energy management almost in so many ways, right?
Yeah.
Because what you are managing there is your energy. Like, you're getting rid of energy vampires, like the news, like people that suck your energy out, like alcohol, whatever, that all things that lower your energy, and you're inviting in higher frequency energy through meditation or yoga or this and that, and reading enlightening books and stuff. So
like drawing healthy boundaries.
Yeah.
You know, that's what it's also about, because a lot of us say yes to invitations out of fear of missing out. Like, oh, I probably should go to this event. Everybody's going to it. Where in reality, maybe you need to stay home and do some more self-care. You know, take a Epsom salt bath and listen to some nice music, because then you're going to have creative ideas and wake up in the morning totally pumped, you know, because it's all about what you create. Like, what do you create in the world? You know, we have so much potential. And again, yeah, like you said, energy management. You know, but if we waste our energy or something else chasing something out of fear of missing out, you know, something that deep inside we realize it's not getting us further down the road, but you're just, you want to be connected to this, to the group, you know, just got to do your inventory.
Yeah, for sure. And I mean, yeah, it makes us better humans and more fulfilled humans and, you know, vibrating at higher frequencies. And at the same time, especially also for people like us, we're creators, we're entrepreneurs, we do work that reaches other people, we self-express ourselves. It's like, that is hugely impacted by that energy management, right? Yeah. How does it impact you in that way?
You know, it's interesting. I work with, I have a community of different healers, and it's something like, yes, the entrepreneurs, different healers, coaches, we have a bit of a different lifestyle where it requires a lot more self-care.
Yeah.
You know, we're not necessarily living like regular people that, regular people.
Like, what does that even mean? Yeah, exactly. What's a regular human?
Like, I think any human being that interacts constantly with others, you know, if your profession involves with, let's say if you're a healer, right? Like, you take on a lot more energy.
Yeah, you need more energetic boundaries too. But wouldn't you just extend that to anybody? Like all the artists, everybody like that does work that, touches another human soul.
Yeah, it's true. So that's, I'm glad that we're like expanding on this topic because I have been focused a lot on coaches and healers and kind of realizing that, hey, you guys are affecting, lives in a major way.
They're directly affecting people. That's true. Because they work with like some really like real shit. Yeah.
Yeah. And so you can't just like, let's say, do that and then, at 5 o'clock, go to happy hour with friends and pretend like everything is good. Like, no, you got to do some clearing and actually like prepare for the following.
That's true.
Day.
But what about, for example, influencers or anyone with a big following online? Like they have a huge responsibility in terms of
the content that they produce.
Exactly.
The ideas that they actually
the energy that
out
they
there.
Send out through these words and images and videos and whatnot. And then, and there's so much toxic stuff out there on YouTube and Instagram and whatnot because there's a whole lot of basically 5-year-olds trapped in an adult body who built a huge following.
Yeah.
And, it's like that's kind of how I look at it. And it's like actually, and that's kind of part of my work, I guess, these days is that just how important the inner work is and that self-exploration and mindfulness for anyone who's out there touching people with their work. Yeah.
And even if you have 100 followers, like you're influencing
that's 100 people.
Opinion. Yeah,
that's 100 people.
Like they may not even comment or say anything, but they read your message and it has impacted your day. So
exactly.
We have with social media, we have huge responsibility.
Huge.
And you're right. Like we need to do the inner work to understand. Am I, sharing this with the world right now because I'm pressured to share something, for the consistency sake of it?
Fucking algorithm.
Yeah. Or is it because like I truly, truly care about this and I want people to apply it in their life?
Yeah.
Because it's true. It's a huge responsibility. And people who are, following influencers, they take this stuff, like they look up to these people. It's very important what we say and that we actually live through what we say. It's not just like a theoretical knowledge that we heard somewhere.
Exactly. And having done the shadow work, because every shadow that we haven't brought into the light yet lives within us in some shape or form.
Yeah.
And that might impact, of course, the work that we put out, but also the work we don't put out. it might change, it has an impact on how we use our real potential.
Yeah.
And looking at the extent to which people really use their potential, I think that there is still a lot of room to be filled with potential. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just
focus on, like, does your work better somebody's life?
Yeah.
That's a good question to ask yourself.
Does it just distract them?
Yeah.
Or does it actually benefit them in a positive way? Yeah.
Because again, being of service to me, that was probably one of the biggest things that changed my life.
It's huge, yeah.
And I didn't even realize like what it meant before. I thought like, does it mean I have to contribute to charity? So I would like send like $20, somewhere. nothing to do is that. It's thinking, waking up and thinking, how can I impact somebody's life today in a positive way, and it can be so simple. It could be literally just looking a person in the eye and saying, hey, thank you so much, man, like how's your day going, and just smiling at them and cheering them up, because who knows what they're going through. Like we all have this kind of our defense system. We smile like, hey, how are you, good to see you, and that's it, but actually taking an extra time, that could be being of service, because if you lift up somebody's life, then they will go around the world and interact with people in their circle and uplift their life, and it's a chain reaction.
It's huge.
It starts,
ripple effect.
It starts with you.
It starts with little tiny acts and little tiny acts of service.
Like sometimes I drive in traffic and so we kind of drive slow and I have an opportunity to lock eyes with somebody going the opposite direction. And I'm like, even that is already a huge responsibility.
Because
if you're like in your mind thinking about some stuff and you're a little bit frustrated and you look at that person and you just kind of disregard it, like, or you can look at them and smile and like wink at them. They'll be like, oh shit, like it's a good day. I like this. Like I'm pumped. People are nice. And all of a sudden everything shifts for them. And who knows, maybe they're on their way to a meeting with 100 people, and they can either show up in a negative state or they can show up in an uplifted state and affect those people.
Oh man, like just being in touch with one person that's really friendly and is like vibrating at a higher frequency and looks at you in a certain awesome, beautiful way, that can totally make your day, I think. Yeah. And that's huge, you know, even if it's just really small. And that just tells just how powerful energies are in that way. Because everything is energy. And everything that we do, every interaction that we have is a transmission of energy in that way.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so energy management is... I mean, it's essential. And that's why coming back to morning routines, like it's setting the energetic stage for the rest of your day. Like, how do you want to show up?
Yeah, right? Like you control your day, it doesn't control you. You say like, this is what I want. Otherwise, if you don't have an agenda, the agenda will be created for you. It may not be what you want to be doing, so why not take an extra 5 minutes and set the agenda for the day, revisit it throughout the day and think, oh shit, that was my intention for the day. Let me focus on that. You know, let me remind myself that today I wanted to smile at everyone that I see, or I wanted to breathe every time I'm in a stressed out situation. I wanted to do that 3-part breath or whatever it is, you know, just keep reminding yourself. And then that's the practice of mindfulness. Mm-hmm. Like when you put your shoes on, do you just slide them off? Do you even remember that you put your shoes on? Like it's all automatic, right? But like, taking extra time to do it, it just really grounds you, makes you more present, and makes you, in the end, we make better decisions.
Yeah.
That's what it's about, making better decisions in life. Mm-hmm. And you make them when you're more present, when you're calm, and you're connected to the person that you're around.
Yeah, which I guess leads me to the next question I was going to ask you, which is around intention, because that is a big thing in your work and in your life, is to live with intention. And what does that actually mean? I love to get down to the bottom of these words that we throw around like nothing else, you know, like being mindful, being intentional, being conscious. I'm like, okay, well, what does it mean to you, and how do you practice that?
Yeah, let's explore this together, because it's so unique for everyone. You know, to me, that's the slogan of my podcast. It's called Think Clever, Live with Intention.
Yes.
And it came so naturally. You know, it wasn't something that like I traveled to the mountains and meditated for a week and came back was like, live with intention. It just came to me, and then I realized like, wow, what a gift, because now I'm learning more and more how to live with intention. So it's almost like it was created for me, and now I'm understanding it more and more, because that's kind of like that what I was sharing about finding purpose in life. You know, part of it is it's all part of intention. You know, it's what is my intention for the day? What do I want out of the day? How do I want to show up for people? That's the agenda. That's the you taking control of your life, of your day, of how you interact with people. To me, that's what it is. And only I have control of that. Like, I am responsible for that. And if, let's say, which, you know, let's say you have a physical ailment that, like, I was depressed, and I realize that affects you on a physical level of how you show up. You know, if you are depressed, there's two sides of it. You can explore it from a spiritual perspective, psychological, you know, or you can explore it from biological perspective. You know, if you don't have enough serotonin in your body, your neurotransmitters are not firing up, then it's very difficult to see the world as a very beautiful place. So don't disregard that component. Biology is important, and you may need to do some blood tests. You need to improve your nutrition. You need to maybe take some supplements. You know, I've gone through various stages of trying out all different things. It actually put me on a journey to become an integrative nutrition health coach, because I wanted to explore nutrition, the powerful effects of it. And what I learned in the process is that it's not always about nutrition. There's so many different aspects: career, relationships, you know, your purpose in life, your food, your environment. You know, right now, environment could be pretty toxic, and you have to be mindful of that to make sure that you clear yourself off those toxins. Because again, energy management, if your body is wasting too much energy on detoxifying itself on daily basis, on reducing inflammation in your body, you're not going to be able to show up and be very present and in a good mood with the person you're next to. Because your body is depleted. You know, so,
or your gut, right? Like,
it's, your gut. There you go.
Yeah, the gut brain connection right there for depression. You know, if your gut's messed up, then your brain's probably also a little bit messed up.
That's how it started for me. My gut got inflammation. I was like, what is going on? I took some antibiotics, made it even worse. And I realized, maybe I should start exploring it myself. Like, how can I cure myself? Like, what are the alternative methods that I can improve. And, you know, you probably speak about this on your podcast a lot, you know, so it's taking responsibility. If you're not able to show up the way you want to show up, then maybe figure out from different angles of what could be the barrier.
Yeah, right. Yeah, and I think also living with intention for me is really what you were also going into earlier about the why. Mm-hmm. Like, what is my why? Why am I doing this? And to be conscious of, of my intention really is what it means to live with intention. And going back to the big why, like being very conscious as to how I structure my days, what sort of people I let into my life, what sort of experiences. And I think it's, yeah, in the end, it comes back to, I think there's like a feedback loop of intention and awareness and consciousness and mindfulness. I think these four words kind of touch each other back to back. Would you agree?
Yeah, absolutely. Mm. Yeah. And something just popped in my head, a conversation that I had yesterday. It was a very dear friend of mine. And she brought this amazing reminder that any moment could be our last moment. Mm-hmm. And it really matters a lot if you believe in reincarnation. It matters a lot in which state you leave your body and you move on to the next life. Mm-hmm. You know, so if you're bitter, angry, disappointed, you know, then there's a lot more karma you're going to have to clear in the next life. But if you are at peace, you're grateful, you're connected to people, you know, your next life is going to be even so much more joyful. Mm. And so, what if today was that day? What if today was the last day for some of us, you know, that this will be your passing into the next life? Yeah. You know, how do you want to spend the day? What kind of people do you want to surround yourself with? This is not for the purpose of putting fear like, hey, any day could be the day. It's more just a gentle reminder of, you know, just maybe make some adjustments, maybe say no to toxic people and say yes to something that, you know,
really adds value to your life also, right? Instead of Netflix and social media. And I think that that is so important, like tuning into your own mortality on a regular basis, to be honest. I think that once I started doing that, it was just clear to me just how much more intentional I want to be with every day that I'm here on this planet, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, that's huge. Also, I love how we're just shifting into into these topics, just like buttery smooth, because
we're in the flow state.
I know, very flow, very much the flow. Yeah, because I wanted to touch on the idea of living in alignment, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. And what that means, and how you've over the years now created a life that is in alignment with, but with what, for example, too, right?
Yeah. You know, and I just want to say, because we're mentioning a lot of inspiring topics, it's not always smooth and easy.
Nah, man.
You know, it's like, it's not that I have figured it out and now I'm just flowing.
Yeah.
I'm with my intention, my purpose, and my alignment. No, I'm actually quite often challenging myself, asking, am I on the right path? You know, did I choose it for the right reason? Is it truly that inspires me? Sometimes I compare myself to others and it spins me for a loop. You know, it's, but what I realize is that this too shall pass. You know, it's just a temporary challenge, temporary barrier, something that I need to overcome, something that I need to test my faith, you know, to make sure that this is what I want to be doing. And sometimes we need to make some readjustments, you know, and get realigned, you know, but that's the part of the journey. Otherwise, you know, if all it takes is just to tap into it once and then for the rest of your life, you're just free flowing, creating stuff and being blissful. Like, I think people would get bored with that state as well. You know, we need a little bit of ups and downs, as long as you realize when you're down that it's not an internal state. Mm. Like this, it will go up. You know, things will light up, and if you remember that, you will make it quicker.
Mm.
You know, if you forget yourself, if you kind of fall asleep and get into this illusion, and you realize, this is it. This is the life kind of sucks. Mm. You may be in that down spiral for a while until you finally snap out of it and realize, like, no, there was something there. I remember I was in that flow state and things were making sense. Let me get back to it. And I think that's part of alignment as well, is constantly adjusting yourself to make sure, connecting with yourself to make sure this feels right, or sometimes this may not feel right and it may not make sense to your logical mind, because logically you'd be like, no, but this is, I'm making money, this is my career, like I've worked so hard for this, like this should make sense, but in your heart, you know it doesn't, you know, and it's so scary to make that leap of faith and be like, no, it doesn't make any sense to my mind, but it makes all the sense to my heart. So that's the alignment for me as well, is to not to lie to yourself, to be sincere that, hey, you know what, this may not make me look very good in front of my friends or my family, you know, maybe I need to make something crazy and abandon my partner and seek something else, but it just makes, I know deep in my heart, this is what I need to do.
Yeah, to really be in alignment with your intuition and your values. Like, there's certain things that are important to me, you know, in terms of values. And I strive to live a life that's in alignment with those values and with my beliefs as well, right? And I think that's why it's so important for us to get to know ourselves on all these different levels. Like, yes, of course, doing the shadow work and all of that, but also getting to know your light and all the things that excite you and that are important to you, and really taking ourselves seriously. And I think then the next step is to, looking at every area of your life, let it be relationships, career, business, health, friendships, family, whatever, and seeing where you're not in alignment. And I think that word in itself, to me, it almost evokes a physical response. I feel it somewhere in my body when I say, oh, this is an alignment. And then there's a physical response to, oh, this is not an alignment. So I think it's really about learning how to connect to these subtle messages from our body. And that is something that I think is super huge, and that I've taught in the past in workshops and stuff before, is to connect to these messages and these signals. Because that's so important, because our brains, I mean, let's be honest, it's taken us on some not so smart journeys, you know, just because we trusted our monkey mind and those monkeys in there, and not trusting our bodies. And then, you know, at the end, it's like your intuition, you know, says to you, oh, I told you so. I'm like, shit, you did, didn't
Scott,
you?
Scott says this awesome thing. He says, mind is a dangerous place. Don't go there alone. Bring a mantra.
Of course, in the Western world, we've just fallen in love with the idea that the mind has all the answers and it knows better than the heart. And by heart, I mean the body. And our bodies are so fucking intelligent. And yet we've just forgotten that they're amazing and that they have all these answers. So it's just about finding back to that place, no?
Yeah. And again, like, to me, I wasn't always super spiritual. Some of the stuff didn't make sense to me. It sounded very woohoo, just, you know, connect with your body, listen to, just find the wording that works for you, you know.
Have you found your goddess within yet?
Yeah, all kinds of stuff. Shine the light in your whatever, you know.
We're making fun of it, but, you know, whatever. For some people it works, right?
So yeah, for some cool people too. It works, but that's what I'm saying. I'm addressing the people for whom it doesn't work.
People
who are, you know, scared by these expressions. They're like, oh, no, I'm not digging that. You know, I live in the real world.
I'm not going to draw that tarot card.
Exactly, you know. So just find something that works for you, that feels real to you.
Yeah.
You know, and actually we have this, I think it's a gift that English is not our first language.
Yeah.
You know, to me it makes question the words, you know, like alignment. Like, I learned what it is, but like sometimes in Russian language, something makes more sense to me.
Mm.
And I'm like, I resonate with the Russian version of it than the English version of it.
Oh, interesting.
You know, and so, but if English is your first language, then maybe play around with that word.
Mm-hmm.
You know, see if there's a different word that makes more sense to you. Like, for example, what we said earlier, the work, like, you know, it could have a negative thing, like, hey, I got to do the work, I got to go to work, you know. And so if that's how you perceive spiritual evolution as doing the work, then that may suck, you know. But if you
it's so true.
Find a different term for it and different way to express it. You know, so that's why I'm saying if certain words don't align with you, then find something else. Like find a different practice or find a different teacher who, let's say, you know, again, coming back to Scott Schwenk, he cracks a lot of jokes, you know, during like a breath work and meditation. For some people, it's like, hey, man, it's a spiritual practice, you know, like, what are you doing? Yeah. But for others, he makes it real. He makes it accessible to everyone, you know, and that's kind of what it is. Just connect with what the language that you understand.
So true. Now, one thing that comes to mind right now, and you briefly mentioned that earlier, is that you did plant medicine. And you've done ayahuasca, and you've done quite a few ayahuasca ceremonies lately, I think. And do you just want to share a little bit about that, like how that went for you? Because I've done ayahuasca and I've done San Pedro, and man, I know I have to go back next year. Mm-hmm. Mother is calling me, even though I'm like, nah, man.
You have to go home.
But she's like, I want you to come and hang out with me. So it's, so that'll be interesting. But tell me about your experiences.
Yeah, beautiful experiences. And I'm so happy that I finally embarked on this path, because I've heard so many different stories. Like literally with each person, they're going to have their own story with plant medicine.
Yeah,
and some of them are extremely visual, traveling to the astral worlds and meeting angels and you know, it just really seems like, wow, that's pretty intense. I'm not sure I'm ready for that. Or some people tap into their trauma and, you know, in one night they remember all the traumas of their childhood that they suppressed and they didn't even know that happened. That could be a pretty intense experience as well. So, you know, every experience is going to be unique, and whatever lessons you need to learn at a particular point of life, that's what will happen. So I don't think people should be scared. You know, it's something that it will help you. One of my teachers, Kai Carell, he's my guide into that world. You know, he said ayahuasca is not a magic pill. You know, it's not going to cure anything for you. It's going to lift the carpet, and it's going to show you the dirt, and it's up to you to clear it out. That's it. Yeah. You know, so and sometimes if you're willing to do that, the work, you know, then you may heal years of trauma in one night. You know, and that's the beauty of it. And to me, I mean, I understood so many different things during the ceremonies. You know, forgiveness, letting go of resentment, letting go of judgment, just appreciating so much. That's when I started appreciating my body, just seeing it as a vessel that was gifted to me, and I need to take better care of it and understand it more and do more self-care. And so to me, it was a very earthy experiences. Like, I did not travel to the astral to meet with God yet, you know, hopefully soon, but we'll see.
You're going to keep going? You're going to do more?
Yeah. Mm. To me, it's a wonderful path, because I found a way to balance out, you know, the integration process. So it's not just a journey for me, plus it's not visual for me. So it's really just understanding things so much better, so much clearer, and how... Just every time I come out of it, I want to be more of service. I want to be more connected to people. I want to play a bigger role in evolution of humankind, so we can all treat each other in a more gentle and loving way. Because, you know, I was raised in Ukraine and in a pretty harsh environment, I would say, where there's a lot of competition. People were, I mean, there's still war going on right now. People are still shooting at each other. It's pretty crazy, you know.
Yeah.
So just having that in the back of my mind, it's always, you know, my defense system was up, you know, but this allowed me to lower it and to embrace that there's other ways to do things. There's other communities, other people that really wish the best for everyone. Mm. And so, I mean, I found a wonderful community of friends, and just the world has shifted and changed so much. It's part of my practice.
Wow. Did you have any ayahuasca experiences that were really painful or challenging? And are you just, because mine were mainly, I just felt really nauseous most of the time. It was really hard for me to tune into the energy of Mother Ayahuasca, mostly towards the end once I'd purged. But it was for hours. I was battling. It was a battle. Literally, it was just a battle. So... So because Mother Ayahuasca is calling me back, I feel like she's got more in store for me maybe next time in a different way when I, because I surrender to the battling. But no, well, yeah, tell me about yours.
Trust and surrender.
Because you just made it sound like, oh, I had all these beautiful insights, you know, but we both know that it's not rainbows
not
and unicorns.
Like that, no. No, I had, yeah, definitely had, most of them were very gentle and amazing experiences. One was very challenging and heavy. And I think that's the power of intention. That's when it really works in the ceremony. Yeah. Setting up an intention of why you're there. What are you trying to see? Or what are you trying to let go? And I have been afraid to say an intention of letting go what's holding me back and letting go of the discomfort that I have in my body. Now, I'm pretty young, but I have like pain in my knees, a pain in my back. And I'm like, why am I experiencing all this discomfort in my body? Like, it shouldn't be like this. And so I was kind of hesitant to say this intention, because every time if you're letting something go, the proper way to do it is you go into the pain, you experience it, and then you do the work and then you let it go.
Yeah.
It's not going to just magically brush it for you and just take it away. And I was afraid to go into that place. Like, I wasn't sure what's in there. And then finally, I was like, this is the night where I'm going to say this intention and please treat me gently. You know, but it was a very challenging experience. Like, I couldn't breathe. I was choking and the entire night was just very challenging. But in the end, you know, I purged and whatever came out needed to come out, and I felt so blissful and free and you know, kind of lifted up, you know. But the whole night, you know, was very challenging. So, but I knew that, hey, that was my intention. I know what I'm doing. I trust the process. I surrender to it. I surrender to the healing that's taking place right now, even though at the moment it's not feeling like I'm being healed. You know, and I went back to more ceremonies after that. It didn't scare me because I trust the process.
Yeah, it's what is your integration process like afterwards?
A lot of journaling, you know, capturing everything that has come to me, and you know, so for me, let's say one of them was gratitude. You know, my gratitude practice really kicked up a lot during some of the ceremonies, because I realized, oh my God, like, there's so many things to be grateful for, but in a very authentic way. Things, you know, everything that I was doing before on kind of like an autopilot mode, after ceremonies, it became very mindful and intentional. Mm. You know, like, I have an altar set up in my apartment, which I, you know, I light up some candles, some incense, I say some prayers. But again, before, it was kind of just to check market, you know, like, hey, I have the altar, I'm doing the work, good for me, you know. But then after the ceremonies, I realized, wow, this is real. Like, the whole energy is here. Like, this is very powerful. This is where I start and cultivate my intention, like at that altar, because I come there every day and I surrender and I, you know, do everything that I can. I sing a song or I pray or I say thank you, just thank you, you know, for everything that I have. So it just made things so much more intentional throughout my day.
That's beautiful. That's really cool. All right, so we're slowly coming to the end, I think, but a couple more questions. Number one is, you on your Instagram bio, you call yourself a mind hacker. What does that mean?
Yeah.
How do you hack your mind?
I'm fascinated by the mind, you know, and obviously it started by, you know, me being in a state of depression for a few years, you know. So I realized, like, it's all in, I mean, it's also in the body, you know, that's why I addressed the body part of it, but the mind is so powerful, you know, and just the way you frame yourself, the way you, it's different lens. You can put a lens of seeing everything that's wrong with the world, or you can put a lens of seeing everything that's right with the world, you know, where attention flows, where attention goes, energy flows. It's all about what you focus on, and that's all in the mind. Mm. You know, I can cultivate a feeling of abundance, or I can feel cultivate a sense of scarcity. Mm. All of that is there. So, I mean, hackers, I guess, kind of aggressive word, because like biohackers, they're doing all this things to enhance themselves, and you know, sometimes it's synthetically or technologically. I'm more of a spiritual hacker, you know, with different spiritual techniques, you know, or following steps of Joe Dispenza and understanding the neurobiology and the practices that you need to establish throughout the day to make sure that you live with intention, you are in a flow state, you control your day. Mm. And to me, that's what it is, taking control of your mind and using it as a powerful tool to guide you to where you want to be and not vice versa.
Yeah, rather than being dominated by it, right?
Yeah,
that's so true. Awesome. What is a book you're reading right now? Or maybe one that you've recently read that...
Just finished actually rereading The Four Agreements.
Oh, nice.
And it's amazing. I posted it on my Instagram and so many people responded about this book. And it's one of those books that you revisit after a while and it's you're true. Like, oh, wow, I found out something more.
What did you find out this time?
That's a good question. Just about relationships between people. You know, and it's so simple and it makes total sense. And I don't know how sometimes we forget about that, you know, just properly communicating about your expectations, about your healthy boundaries, you know, just not assuming that a person knows who you are, what you want, what you like, what you don't like, establishing the proper communication channel and actually doing it in a way of saying, hey, you know what, nothing has to do with you, but what you did, like I have something in me that got triggered, you know, and it hurts my feelings. Can we figure out a way not to do it? Or maybe just saying, hey, I prefer this instead of that. It's just establishing the communication. Stop assuming that, you know, even your parents know you. Like nobody knows you because you're evolving all the time. And if you don't communicate it properly, then how can you possibly assume that the person will do something that you prefer, you know, and then you hold the resentment, then the resentment builds, and then you look at the person who was a lens of this anger, like they don't know what I want, like how come they don't get this?
Yeah.
So that's, I think that's the biggest one for me right now.
Communication.
Communication.
Nice.
Yeah.
I love that. Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Sas. That's been so much fun sitting down chatting with
in
you.
In Bali.
I know.
And we're
so
sitting
good.
In like a yoga position on the cushions on the floor. It's so cool.
It's Bali style.
I love it.
So good. Where can people reach you?
Yes. Thinkclever.co is my website. Think Clever on Instagram and Think Clever Podcast. You're on my podcast.
Yes. When was this? It must have been in the summer, huh?
That interview.
Yeah,
exactly. So you can hear how much we've both evolved.
Fuck, man. Yes. I feel like I've lived five lives since then already. Thank you so much for
being here.
And I'll link to everything in the show notes, of course. And until next time.
Until next time.